Hadar, Marvin Simcha. Today is Chodesh Hadar. But for us, here in Yeshiva Tarvadas, the Simcha is not complete. Unfortunately, our Yeshiva, Rav Zalvalsky, is critically ill, a very sudden illness. I beg all of you to be Mishnatif and Tefillah for Rav Yisrael and Chana Cyril. Specifically, this Masai Shabbos, efforts are being made to organize a gathering to say Tehillim at the Svee Tarvadas Minyanim here in Flatbush at Rabbi Bergman Shul at 1248 East 18th Street. It's scheduled for 8 o'clock. Rabbi Bergman will speak for 10 or 15 minutes, followed by the Kinnas. Rav Sam's Shul, Ar Gadol Yo, 1554 Coney Island Avenue at 7:30 before the obviously bottom of Ava Malka. And efforts are still being made to plan a specific time of Rabbi Schoenbauer at 3514 Avenue. Most likely will also be at about 8 o'clock. Please be Marve Pitzvillah. Having said that, let us look into this parasha, the Pinyan HaMishkan, and the place of the Mishkan in Klal Yisrael. I'd like to start by sharing with you three machloek treatises between Rashi and the Ramban regarding the Mishkan. If we take all three together, we will see, we'll get a picture of the way Rashi perceived the significance of the Mishkan and the way the Ramban perceived exactly the same thing, very different one from the other. Let us begin with the Machlokes, Rashi and the Ramban, regarding the timing, regarding the time that the beginning of Parshat Truma took place. That is to say, when was it? When did it take place? That Vayetaver Hashem El Moshe Leimar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to gather Klal Yisrael until the Mishkan. Ramban, at the beginning of this week's parasha, says that this took place after Nasa V'Nishma. Immediately after the Nasa V'Nishma, which we read about at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, when Klal Yisrael so eagerly embraced the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to dwell among them, Mishachanti Bisbecham, and Parshat Truma follows immediately the last episode at the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Rashi disagrees. The Rashi is not in this week's Parshat. Rashi is in Parshat Mishpatim. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches. And Rashi there says, Ein Muktam U'Meuchar B'Taira. The Parshas of the Torah are not written in order. Ma'aseh Ha'egel Kaidem L'Tzivim Melechas HaMishkan Yamin Rabim Ha'yim. The incident with the Egel took place a long time before the commandment regarding the Mishkan. Because the Egel incident took place on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, Shabu Avuchai. It wasn't until a long time later to Yom HaKippurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael and then began with the Melechas HaMishkan. So that according to Rashi, this took place Yomim Rabim later after the Kapara of the Chet HaEgel. So that we have here a dispute. Now this dispute, Ramban and Rashi, is actually a dispute of Tanoim. Medrash Rabba says, as the Ramban says, that this parasha took place immediately following Nasa V'Nishma, and the Medrash Tanchuma says, as Rashi says, that it took place after the Chet HaEgel. So this is one dispute. It's interesting, if you look at the Rashi, Sista, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches, you'll see that someone inserted in parentheses the Tzarech Iyun, a question, and it's just the Pshara between Rashi and the Ramban, but those parentheses are not part of Rashi, they contradict Rashi. And as it stands, we have a Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban. Okay, that's one Machlokes regarding the timing of this parasha. The Sefer Tziyat Ta'iri points out that this Machlokes, as we shall see momentarily, is a Machlokes in understanding the purpose of the Mishnah. Rashi understands that the Mishkan is the Mokin Kapara, a place of forgiveness. That's the sheet of the Medrash Tanchuma. The Zav of Hakesh of the Mechayshev, Zav of Hamra of Ego HaZav. The Ramban, on the other hand, and the Medrash understand that the Mishkan is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows love to Klal Yisrael. Medrash says it has a marshal that the Mishkan is like a king who married off his daughter and asked the young couple to build a small room so he could visit whenever he wants. So too, HaKadosh Baruch gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael and asked that a Mishkan be. So that according to Rashi, for the purpose of Kapara, which Rashi Shita took place after Yom HaKippur, according to the Ramban, a dwell among them. So Rashi says, Lishachti al minas lishachti v'stecham. I took the Eretz Yisrael on the condition that I'd be able to dwell among them. The Ramban says that's not true. The le never means on the condition. When Matzvinu lamed, that's al minas. And therefore the Ramban says that Pasik is telling us what he calls Beit Gadol, a great. The secret is, the site is, that the Mishkan is not a Tzairach of Klal Yisrael. A Kaviyachal for the Tzairach Kavaya, for the purpose of God. God desired to dwell among Klal Yisrael. Maybe some Talmud. Eva Lamaish of Lai. God desired to dwell among Klal Yisrael. So that the Ramban says this, the site Gadol, that the Mishkan is built with Tzairach Kavaya, with God's will. God's desire, Kaviyachal, to dwell among Klal Yisrael, the Shitasai, that this is the place to show love. Rashi disagrees with that, because Rashi holds the Mishkan is built, but by Rechedya, for the purpose of the Klal Yisrael, to achieve Kapara. We have three places we have the disagreement, the fundamental understanding of the Mishkan. If the Mishkan is for the purpose of showing Shiva, the Klal Yisrael's love, as the Ramban says, or the primary purpose is Kapara, a place of forgiveness. And this Yisrael, obviously, will have to do with additional disputes between Rashi and Ramban, but for today, this is a longer part than I usually say. Suffice it to say that there are two understandings of the purpose of the Mishkan. As we go into the next 4 weeks, or 4 out of the next 5 weeks, reading about the Mishkan, it will be good to bear that in mind. Let us move on to a second topic regarding the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, carbonates were brought. Animals were brought as sacrifices. Tzemeach, things that grow from the ground, were also brought and offered in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mizbeach, but limited. Limited to three types of things. Tzubua, wheat or flour, which was brought as part of the mincha. Shemen, oil, which was brought as well as part of the mincha. And yayin, wine, which is poured on the Mizbeach. Of all the things that grow, these three, wheat, wine, and oil, are the only ones that are brought as an offering in the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting to point out that these three items, wheat, wine, and oil, are unique in the list of, in many areas, a long list of areas that have to do with the Mitzvah Sefirah. For example, these three items are mentioned in Kriya Shema. In the middle parasha of Kriya Shema, when we talk about Skar, giving rewards for mitzvahs, it says, Yosaf Tadik Onecha, Yitzvah Shavah, Yitzvarecha. These three are mentioned specifically, wheat, oil, and wine. Another example, the mitzvah, Dairaisa, to give a Trumais Bumaisreis, to give a portion of the Kayin, the Levi, etc., according to the Shitas of Rashi and Taisus and Brachas Mamitvav, the Mitzvah Zairaisa is limited to three things. Which three? Got it. Tzubua, yayin, shemen, wheat, wine, and oil. Similarly, the idea in the Mitzvah Rabbanan that we make a bracha, all brachas are general brachas, with the exception of the bracha on one, which we make a bar, meaning the Zainai, Brahmais, the Lashon Haaretz. The bracha on wine, where we say Bar Bri HaGafen. And what about the bracha on oil? The Gemara says in the beginning of the sixth Derek that really oil would have its own bracha, except that it's not healthy for a person to consume oil by itself, and therefore Chazal did not give it its own bracha. But all three would have mitzvah on this special significance. In addition, we have Yom Tov and we have holidays that are based primarily on these three items. Tzubua, wheat, of course, Pesach, with the main mitzvah of the day is matzah. Shemen, oil, of course, for Hanukkah, and wine, of course, for Purim. But as again, these three things that grow from the ground stand out as being very unique. We also find these three items, the teaching of Chazal, related to wisdom. We find, for example, that shemen, zayis, oil, Gemara says, is good for zikaron, is good to help a person improve his memory. I know of an incident, it was also Leonard Rebbe, and so, told someone who was becoming senile, child when he's able to appreciate eating wheat products. So that we find in a vast array of areas, this is Beraish, this is Rabbanon, Farvahinish, Achma, that these three items, meat, wine, and oil, stand out. Why? What is special about them? One thinks about it in depth, you know, that these three items, meat, wine, and oil, achieve that perfection only through the act of a person. Not like fruits, which we all can pick and eat. The vegetables can be picked, and at most require cooking to eat. Wheat requires a lot of work to make it into bread, to make it edible. Similarly, with oil or wine, a lot has to be done to make it something desirable or something special. And here we understand this basic idea that these three things, the wheat, wine, and oil, are special to the Ravina soil. Why are they special? Because they require an amela, a certain amount of effort and work that's put in by a human being to make them usable. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mita Kaviyah. To appreciate what a person does with effort, what a person does with amela, what a person does with sacrifice. Kahu Midasai, and the less of its boy Yayin Veshemen, which are unique among all the things that grow and are offered Agave HaMizbeach. So this week, these are two thoughts. One thought regarding the Rashi of Ramban's very different opinion in the fundamental site of the Mishkan, and the lesson of the Nesachim and the Menachais, which are brought. Let me end, as always, with a question. So this week is Dayan Adar. It's the seventh day of Adar. And the seventh day of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, passed away. It's the yard site. Is this a happy day or a sad day to call Yisrael? It seems to be a bit of a era. On the one hand, when Shabbos takes Tosfos Tzedek, we say Tzidukat because Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. The Shulchan Aruch brings a minig of Tzadikim to fast on the seventh day of Adar. On the other hand, this seems to be a custom. Now, the seventh of Adar, people do not say Tachman, people give Tachman, as if it's the Yom Tov. Seems to be something of a contradiction in the Anhag. I also have my old question regarding the seventh of Adar, or I should attribute it. Last time I asked this question, someone pointed out that this custom is, and it's just a skill as the following question. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the seventh of Adar and passed away on the seventh of Adar, he did not live 120 years. He lived 120 years plus one day. Zayin Adar would have been his 121st year, or the beginning of the 121st. Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu mashed him shnaisav, gives him 2 years. It would seem that if he was born on Zayin Adar and passed away on Zayin Adar, the years are not complete. So this is a Tarachian, the question regarding the seventh day of Adar. Now with that, I say to a good Shabbos. I hope that by the time we talk again next Thursday, we'll be able to have better news regarding our Shiva. Please have in mind, the life, especially of Talmidim, is most meaningful.